Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 201. And coming up on this one, the Leafs, what can you say, man? They built up a big lead against Carolina Hurricanes just to blow it all over in the last few minutes. But the St. Pat's jerseys, they look good, huh? They look really good. Special teams, a big-time problem. Does Keeve need to shake things up? We're going to break it down right here on 201 of the Tip In.
Rod Brindamore, Rod the Bod, in the house on Saturday night for a little St. Patrick's Day action. Not too pleased the way this one started, but sure happy the way it ended. Hold on to your shamrocks, folks. It's St. Patrick's Day. Let's hit the intro.
Tavares coming out, sends it in a goal.
Welcome, everybody, to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Tip In Podcast on TikTok, Tip In Pod on Twitter, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, sir. Happy St. Patrick's Day. We got a little something cooking here, a little special screen overlay here today because, Well, it's St. Patrick's Day, right? How many people do you think are half in the bag right now?
Quite a few.
How many kept drinking from last night and are still potentially going now? That's a pretty good shift. What do you think? Some.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. It's a lot.
Like in Ireland and some places, like here, everywhere, but specifically over in places in Europe. I mean, they like to really get at it, right? They get after it.
it's like an excuse, right? Oh, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, it has nothing to do with the heritage of Ireland or anything like that. It's just an excuse to get hammered.
Got the Guinness rocking here, Chatty.
Oh, yeah. Do you like that?
I do like it. I love it, actually. I don't drink it very often because it's so fucking expensive. But once in a while, pull it out. I do like it. Do you ever drink it?
Yeah, I like it. Same thing, though. Like, and it's a heavy beer, so it's like one of those you enjoy one or two of them, but you're not going to drink a dozen of them.
It's only 4.2%. Like when you're looking at it draft wise, it looks very thick and it looks very heavy. I don't find it that heavy. No? Like I think it's pretty smooth, to be honest. Like it doesn't taste to me like people who don't drink beer or whatever would look at a Guinness and be like, oh God.
It's not super heavy, but it's heavy enough.
It doesn't taste how it looks. It doesn't taste how it looks. It's still only 4.2% alcohol beer. To me, it's fairly smooth, whatever. But occasionally, you know, St. Patrick's Day, few Guinness, no props.
Why not?
What'd you think of the jerseys? New jerseys, new St. Pat's jerseys. I love them. Love them.
Yeah. I thought they looked great.
Love the jerseys. Instead of the words on the crest, it was just a nice little clover leaf. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
that. Not bring them luck, but.
No. I thought it was at, you know, times I thought that it was, but turned out no. Some good things about this game and some not the best things about this game. I'll go first here, Chad. Mm-hmm. I thought the crowd, now I could be wrong with this, but I thought the crowd for a Saturday night St. Patrick's Day game, I thought they were fucking dead. Dead. For the large majority of that game, I thought they were dead. Like, here's the thing. You're going down to the game with your boys or whatever. It's Saturday night, St. Patrick's Day. Get after it. Go have a good time. Get her going. Get the chance going. I didn't hear, for the majority of that game, it was pin drop. I thought. Did you not think that?
For the first part of it, I thought once the Leafs scored the first three goals, the building really came to life. And then I thought in overtime, it was wild. Like the building was, but yeah, the first period, it seemed a little dead. Especially, like you say, for a St. Patrick's Day, you think they'd be getting after it.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, it's St. Patrick's Day. Like, what the hell? Like, get her going. Get the chance going before the puck even drops.
But then again, sometimes on St. Patrick's Day, people have the tendency to start a little too early. And then by the time 7:30, 8 o'clock rolls around, you're kind of like, I'm done.
You know what they're really missing out there at Scotiabank Arena? They're missing Like, you can't go for darts anymore, right? Like, you can't go for darts. Like, once you're in the building, you can't go out for a dart. I think that
people, not at all anymore.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's like once you're in, you can't go out for a dart. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you're right. Last time I was there, I think that's true. Yeah, you couldn't go out for a dart.
Like, it's a more recent thing over the last, like, since COVID, I believe. Prior to COVID, I think you could. Since COVID, once you're in, can't go back out, unless they've changed it back. But it's like, you know how many dudes in there are just dying for a dart? Like, they just want to go in their intermission so bad and have a fucking dart. Like, what does Jim Ralph do? What does he do?
Oh, he's allowed out. He's allowed out. He sneaks out the side door. I've seen him. He sneaks out the side door with the kitchen staff.
He might just
they go out for darts.
He might just rock him right.
Maybe just maybe just rocks
them. Anyway, I think they need to go back to, like, and maybe they have, but if they haven't, I think they need to go back to Toronto, letting dudes out for darts. You want to go a dart during intermission? Just ease the, like, especially when you're watching this team play. Like, second intermission, you're wanting to go have a dart, like, big time. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Not the easiest watching these guys play on a nightly basis. So
gotta calm the nerves.
Scotiabank Arena and MLSE. Let the fans who want to go have a dart go have a dart. Come on, what do you think?
When I worked at the Sky Dome, and it was the Sky Dome back there, not the Rogers Center, I think they used to have the smoking rooms. Do you remember that?
That you could smoke inside in a designated area.
If you were, like, in the 500 level, they had.
You could do that at Air Canada Center for a while too.
They had the glass rooms that you could go, and I would be taking my break, and I would walk up the stairs, be like the seventh inning. You couldn't even see.
Oh yeah,
there was so much smoke in the room you couldn't even see.
Dude, you imagine the gardens back in the day? You imagine gardens back in the day? It would just be. Oh, I'm surprised they didn't let them smoke in their seats.
They probably did, like, way, way back in the day.
Oh man, crazy, crazy. So anyway, the jerseys, whatever. Rod Brind'Amour, I thought, was going to blow an absolute nut at times in this game. The turnovers, I would call this whole thing just turnover fucking central. Both teams, mainly the Hurricanes to start, but, like, breakaway after breakaway for the Leafs. But then as the game kept going, the Leafs started fucking turning the puck over. I don't know, man. I guess I would say, like, do you want to go to special teams first? Because this is the biggest takeaway for me.
Sure. Are you going to break down the game?
I'm going to break it down, but not, like, too extensively. Like,
okay, we'll go to the special teams.
I think we should go to special teams off the top here. So basically, where it's at, here's where I'm at on the special teams. They've given up 7 power play goals in their last 7 games. So they can't keep the puck out of their fucking net when they're killing a penalty. Just can't do it. Does some of that have to do with Mitch being out? Yeah, I'm sure it does, but, you know, I'll get your thoughts on that. And they've been outscored 8-1 on special teams in March. 8-1 in the month of March. It's March 17th. Like, March is just flying by here. We're going to be in April in, like, 13 days or whatever. It's crazy. 14 days. So I don't know. To me, it's absolutely awful. It's horrendous. And it's very concerning that these, like, going into the home stretch and potentially, like, working our way to the playoffs, and every time you get a penalty, the puck's in the back of your net and you can't score on the power play. Tell me what's going on.
I don't know. We were saying in the opening, does it need to be shaken up? Yeah, it needs to be shaken up for sure. This has been an ongoing theme. If you go back to last year, near four, they have this tendency as the playoff creeps up, their special teams start to go to shit and it leaks into the playoffs.
Why do you think that is? Because I have a theory. I have a theory as to why I think it is.
I understand why in the playoffs, because things are a little tighter, a little different, why your special teams might be. But it always seems right around St. Patrick's Day, around mid-March, their special teams goes to sleep and they can't get it going. And they go into the playoffs. And the team that needs the power play to win playoff series doesn't show up.
But you just said it. You just said what I was going to say there. Like, this is the time of year where teams are juggling for positioning in the standings, like seed-wise.
Or gearing up for the playoffs.
Gearing up for the playoffs. So things already start to get a little tighter now.
Yeah.
And so that's my theory right there. When things start to get a little tighter, they feel a little bit more like the playoffs. And this is the result. It's like, no, perimeter stuff from the Leafs. The personnel out there, I want to touch on that for a second. And, like, I guess with Keith's decision-making. But for me, it's like you basically just said it. Like, when things start to tighten up and it gets closer to, like, playing like playoff hockey, in the tank, outscored 8-1 on the power in special teams in the month of March. I can't believe it. Like, with the skilled guys they have and all that. Last night, Chad, I saw a power play where Riley and Liljegren, two defensemen, were both on the power play at the same time. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? There's no threat from either one of them. Like, I know in the playoffs last year, Riley snuck in and buried a few goals. And, like, you know, I'd like to see more of that in the regular season. I don't know why we can't see playoff Morgan Riley in the regular season. It just doesn't seem to be a thing. I don't know. But what the fuck is Sheldon Keefe doing here? Like, when you're, like, okay, looking for answers because you've only scored one power play goal in the month of March, I get that. But Liljegren and Riley on the point with three forwards, that's your fucking, like, that's going to do it? What? Like, what? Is that?
No, we were just saying, what, like, you want to shake things up.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Is he looking for someone to take control of the power play? Like, who controls the power play when they're out on the ice?
Neither one of those guys. Well, it's Riley, I guess, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
Riley. So is he trying to maybe see if Liljegren can do it?
Oh, God.
Liljegren did it when Riley was hurt.
Going into this year, they wanted it to be Klingberg. And then, well, that's, they did. That's the only reason they brought him in here. So because he's out, they just went back. They defaulted back to Riley. How many times have they done that? Tyson Barrie wanted him to replace Riley. Didn't work out. Klingberg wanted him to replace Riley. Didn't work out. So it just ends up being Riley again by default. Riley's not your guy. He's not your guy. Like I said last podcast or a couple podcasts ago, that I'd like to see them go to just five forwards on the power play. Yeah. Load it up. Just load it fucking up with five forwards and have at it, man. But, you know, what? Maybe that's not the answer, but something. Whether it's a bigger body like McMahon or like you split up the second unit and you put half of the guys. I don't have the ultimate answer, but something's got to give because it's not working. It's not working.
Yeah, and they got to figure it out now.
Well, that it scares the shit out of me, especially going into a playoff series. Like they're finishing third in the Atlantic. That's where they are. They're not going to a wild card. They're not going any higher. They're finishing third. And right now it's the Panthers because they've lost a handful of games. So, you know, I hope it's the Bruins, but it might end up being the Panthers.
Either way, the Panthers or Bruins, it's not an easy first round.
No. You're going to have to go through both those teams if you want to get to the East Finals. So, I don't understand. And how good are those teams at shutting down a power play, specifically the Leafs power play? Boston won't give them nothing. Florida won't give them anything.
Nope.
It's concerning, man. To me, it's very concerning because series can be won and lost on special teams. And with stats like that I just gave you, giving up seven power play goals in the last seven games, can't keep the puck out of their net when they're killing penalties, and only one power play goal in the month of March. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Power play in overtime last night to win it, and they can't even find a fucking, like,
that was the worst.
They can't really find a half-decent chance. Like, Domi kind of at the side of the net, but they didn't really have any good looks. And they weren't moving.
You got a 4-on-3 power play. Like, you got to keep moving, get the players out of position. You should have, I think it said they had three shots on goal and a full two minutes of 4-on-3.
They look like they're skating in quicksand. Like they're slowing it down. So they slow it down slow. I'd like to see a little more zip.
And it's all the same thing. Oh, we'll just try to get it to Austin for the one timer. Like mix it up a bitch. Everybody a bitch. Mix it up a bitch.
No, I like that.
Mix it up a bitch.
How much do you think?
I was going to say like Mitch on the power play.
Okay.
He's a big part of that.
I would have Mitch run the best playmaker on the power play.
And especially 4-on-3, he's so creative in time when he has that much time and space. So they do really, I think, is this not kind of showing you how important Mitch is when he's out of the lineup? Anytime he's out of the lineup, the team kind of looks mediocre.
I know.
It's crazy. Know.
They were showing the stats, like with guys who have missed a significant amount of time. Like Riley's the biggest mind blower. Like they win every time, every game he doesn't play, they win. But when Mitch is out, they're like a 500 team. That is pretty interesting. He kills penalties. Like, I don't know. That is pretty interesting. If you think about it, like
Mitch, he sets up a lot of goals.
Mitch has
so many primary assists. It's crazy. Yeah. And especially in times like that, when you get into 3-on-3 overtime or you get a 4-on-3 power play, like that's where Mitch will just come out with something so creative and wind up you know, he doesn't score the goal, but somebody gets a goal and the game is over.
He does a lot of things under the radar that helps the team in both ends. So it, yeah, it is. And you're noticing it right now. So I don't know.
Austin's not scoring.
No. So I'm going to, okay. So anything else on the power play, or we agree that like, they got to shake something up here significantly.
And we'll see what happens. I mean, Keith and them have got to be looking at it like this ain't working.
No, it's not. So you mentioned Austin. He's not scoring, whatever. What's he got? 2 goals in the last 10 games or something like that. I know Mitch has only missed like a handful of games here. So he was still not scoring when Mitch was in the lineup. But what do you think it is with Austin? You think, like, to me, he doesn't really look – he had chances last night and whatever, but he had some point-blank chances where usually those would be in the net and he's, like, not even hitting the fucking net. What do you think is going on here? You think he's just missing Mitch? You think there's a potential injury that's nagging him, or you think neither? He's just kind of lost right now. What do you think, Austin?
I don't think he's lost. I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. I think missing Mitch is one. I think, two, he's kind of like – he might be just slowing down. The fire might just be burning out a little bit. He's been going like crazy, scoring at a rate that we haven't seen in the modern NHL. And three, I think maybe this is just the way it evens out, right? Like he's just kind of doing this year. He'll score a bunch and then he kind of goes into a lull and then he scores a bunch. Like he hasn't been doing one goal a game. He's been doing like hat trick, no goal.
That's true. But does it not look a little different? Like he doesn't have the same kind of pep going.
Yeah,
it looks different to me. It looks different to me.
Last night and the game before, there were a few chances where he buries that puck 10 out of 10 times. And not just like hit the post or something, just fired it at the goalie. Just not Austin Matthews. Not the way he normally would handle that situation. And in overtime last night in the 4-on-3, I thought for sure, okay, he's going to end this. And he did the same thing. He just shooting it right at the goalie. But I think he might just be running out of gas a little bit. And I would rather him not get 70 goals, but be a beast in the playoffs.
Okay. Oh, 100%. I'm with you on that. 100%. I don't know. So hopefully a little concerning about – so there's some concerning things here. A little concerned about Matthews' play as of late. But there's still some time to get that figured out. But it's like now is the time. Like it's go time, guys. Like let's go. Don't just be like, oh, we're finishing third and whatever. Like, I mean, you still got to like go into the playoff playing – into the playoffs playing the right way. Like you got – they got to get things figured out all around here. Like the forward group, get Mitch back, get the D pair set. A little bit more on that later. So I'll tell you this. I am going to break the game down and then I got a few other things – quickly, we won't keep it too long unless you have anything else you want to get to at the end or whatever. But so going into the game here, Chad, now St. Patrick's Day, keep in mind, okay, my Shamrock was growing, not in the first period, but once the turnovers started and they at least were getting breakaways, my Shamrock started growing last night for most of that game. I had my hands all over my Shamrock, couldn't get my hands off of my Shamrock. It was great. But then a hurricane came sweeping through and my Shamrock went soggy and soft, and I don't like that, you know. It kind of really put a damper on things. My Shamrock was growing and growing and growing. The lead was growing, my Shamrock was growing, and then the hurricanes came and it was soggy and soft. So not the best. I don't know if you had the same thing reaction last night or if it was just me, or I'm sure there's other people out there that had the same reaction.
That was a haiku. I'm pretty sure that was a haiku.
Okay, so
that was an Irish poem right there.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anyway, look, man, turnover fest all over here. Go to the
both
second
sides,
period.
Both sides.
Go to the second period. Tavares gets a breakaway. Roofs it for his 21st. Incredible way to open the scoring. Good to see JT get a little speed there. Pop it top shelf. I'm like, here we go. Literally 90 seconds later, Nylander breakaway. Incredible goal. Roofs it for his 36th of the season. 2-0 Leafs looking pretty. Another turnover. Tavares gets it out front to Robertson. He one times it home. Robertson back in the lineup. More on him in a second. Boom, boom, boom. It's 3-0 Leafs. All great goals looking incredible. And like the Leafs offense looking incredible at this point in the second period. And Carolina's defense looking like garbage. Absolute shit.
Yeah.
Just terrible. But Carolina, here we go. They start coming back. They get two back and the Leafs lead at 3-2 after the second period. Go to the third period. Kampf puts the Leafs up 4-2. Carolina scores two late in regulation to tie it. Absolutely, the Leafs had no answer for the Hurricanes once they started coming late in that game. An early goalie pull by Brind'Amour, it worked off beautifully. As soon as they tied it, and this game was going to open, I'm like, this, that's it, it's over. All the momentum has swung. The Leafs had a chance to win it on a power play in overtime. They did not. But my thoughts going into overtime, when Carolina tied it at the end of regulation, I'm like, the momentum has swung here. That's it. Carolina's going to win this game 100%. I don't know what you thought, but anyway.
Yeah, thought the same thing.
Leafs can't get their power. They get a power play in overtime. Cannot fucking find the back of the net. Goes to a shootout. Carolina wins it 5-4. Leafs blow a 3-0 lead. They also blow a 4-2 lead. Lose it 5-4. What are your thoughts on how that baby shook down?
It is what it is. I mean, they blew it in the final minutes. It's going to happen from time to time. I'm not going to sweat it. It was kind of a weird game. I thought the thing I take from it is if you get a 4-on-3 in overtime after you blew the leads, end it. End it and no one's talking about it. But that was one of the worst power plays I've seen. Then you get a chance in the shootout. Probably some of the worst shootout attempts I've seen all season from all the guys shooting. So they had their chances even after they blew the lead to put the game away. And they did. And that's something that worries me going into the playoffs because I hate that. I hate that, like, that, I don't know, I don't want to say give up mentality, but they, like you say, you knew it as soon as Carolina came back that the Leafs were just going to be like, okay, well, we're done. Like, find a way. Even when things go bad, find a way to just end it.
And I understand Kampf took the penalty late in regulation. They don't have Marner.
Terrible call. But you got a power play in overtime, so it kind of even.
Exactly. So my point here is, like, Marner's not in the lineup. Kampf in the penalty box. Two of your best penalty killers not on the ice or in the lineup. They had Nylander out there for a bit killing penalties. Found the back of the net. Matthews was out there for a bit killing penalties at the end of the game. Found the back of the net.
Tons of shorthanded breakaways.
Yeah. Yeah. So just not good. But anyway, okay, that's it. Whatever. Well, they get a point. They should have had two. They blew the extra point big time. Samsonov, not going to spend a lot of time here. I thought he was really good at times. Not at times. He was good. I don't really fault him on the goals. Like, I thought Sammy was good. But we'll save the goaltending talk for maybe after the next podcast. Nick Robertson, he finds his way back in. He scores another big goal. That was a nice goal, man. Pass from Tavares. He finds, like, Robertson top shelf from top shelf, buries it. So I think Jonas Siegel put out a tweet last night that said, the only Leafs with more 5-on-5 goals this season than Nick Robertson, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, Tavares, and Knies. The only Leafs with more 5-on-5 goals this season than Nick Robertson.
And how many more games in ice time do they have?
Robertson has played in only 42 of the Leafs' 66 games. So if you put the math there, he would be ahead of probably Tavares and Knies with 5-on-5 goals. Anyway, my point here is Robertson. To me, we've talked about this before. I think he's the kind of guy in the playoffs that, just because of his offensive, a natural goal scorer, offensive ability, he's the guy that could get you a timely key goal at a key point in a hockey game. Is he a guy that you want to see stick in this lineup when the forward group is fully healthy?
Yeah, I've been saying that for months.
Has he done enough in your point to do that, or do you think Sheldon will still have him on the outside looking in?
That's tough because everything points to, you know, Keefe will have him on the outside. Keefe's never really found a spot for him. He's never really liked him.
It doesn't make sense, Chad, though, right?
Like, I don't know why.
A guy that is that skilled and can get you a timely goal, do you not have to have him in?
I don't know. He has a tendency once in a while he'll make a few defensive mistakes, but so does everybody. But it seems Keefe, as soon as he does it, Keefe's like, no, not on my team. So I don't know if he will play in the playoffs. I hope he does, because I think, just like you said, he's shown that he can score with limited opportunity, and you need that in the playoffs.
Oh, I totally agree, man. I don't know. I think, I want to see Robertson in there again, just to, because of what I just said, like his offensive ability. I think he could potentially get, like last night, like if that's a playoff game and that he's able to score that goal, I know they still lost and whatever, but if he's and he's able to score that goal to put you up 3-0, hopefully they can fucking shut it down from there. I know they can't because they can't shut it down from there, but I'd rather be up.
Yeah, but or you get into overtime in the playoffs where it's not 3-on-3, it's 5-on-5, and all the big boys on both teams are kind of washing each other out, and then a guy like that just manages to score. That's what always happens, right? It's always 100%. Like those guys like Nick Robertson. So, yeah, I would definitely find a spot for him on the team, but we'll see what Sheldon Keefe does.
Sure. If you're watching on YouTube, guys, let us know in the comments. What do you think? You want to see, has Robertson done enough? Do you think he could score the Leafs a big goal in the playoffs? Let us know if you want to see Robertson in the lineup to start the playoffs or on the outside looking in. Please let us know. Liljegren, Benoit, I was going to talk about them, but I'm not. I'm just going to say we'll get into the Benoit discussion. We'll see if he draws back in the Philly game or the Washington game. They got a back-to-back on Tuesday and Wednesday. The last thing I'm going to go to is Brody. I think Brody is just
– man, he was bad again.
I don't know what to say about TJ Brody anymore other than, like, he's Sheldon's guy. I understand that. But
what is he doing? Can he do anymore?
You want to know what he did last night? Because I've got the stats in front of me right now.
Give me the stats.
Have you seen that for the 6D last night? Have you seen the stat line?
No.
Okay.
I've seen some, but I don't know what Brody's was.
Okay. So the plus minus, whatever, plus minus block shots and hits last night. Edmondson was even. McCabe, even. Liljegren, plus 2. Riley, plus 3. Labushkin, plus 1. Brody, minus 2. That's interesting considering, you know, like each team scored 4 goals and then the fifth was the winner in the shootout. So that's just interesting. He was the only defenseman in the negatives. Block shots, Edmondson 4, McCabe 2, Liljegren 1, Riley 2, Labushkin 2, Brody 0. Hits, Edmondson 2, McCabe 4, Liljegren 2, Riley 2, Labushkin 7, Brody 0.
Oh.
Minus 2, 0 block shots, 0 hits.
And he used to be the guy that, like, you know, when the puck was dumped in, he was the guy that would get it and get it out or get it to somebody. But he can't even make a pass anymore. Like, I hate to say it because I like Brody, but he's really becoming a liability out on the ice. Almost useless. But Keefe just keeps playing him.
So my question to you, Chad, before we wrap this puppy up, is all of a sudden I think Liljegren's looked a little better the last few games with Edmondson. Better than Brody, okay? But I know the talk kind of before was like Liljegren-Benoit, you know, Giordano's still in the mix.
He should come out?
Personally? 100%, man. He is going to cost you in the playoffs like you would not believe. Look at the stat line. He's not throwing hits. He's not blocking shots. And he's not doing anything on plus-minus-wise to keep the puck out of the fucking net.
No, he's not. You don't even need those stats line. You just need to watch the game. It's unbelievable because I remember when he came here and we talked about on this podcast how good he was. I'm like, oh, this guy's great. What a trade this was. What a signing this was. This is going to be such a great defenseman. And he's just a shell of himself now.
Completely lost his
game. I don't know why. Yeah, he is. So, maybe it'll be good for him to sit up in the press box.
At the minimum, they have to take him out of the lineup and get him like his head fucking straight or something. Yeah. I don't know if there's any repairing this guy. Thank God this is the last year of his deal. Like, he will not be back. But like, I don't know if there's any fixing this. But I know one thing 100%. He will cost them in the playoffs significantly if he is in the lineup. There is absolutely no doubt about it in my mind. So for me, we talked for half this season. I really enjoyed and liked the pair of McCabe and Brody. Well, now Brody's McCabe and Benoit. McCabe and Benoit. Now Brody has taken Benoit's spot and he's playing with McCabe, Labushkin, Riley, Edmondson, and Liljegren. Is it not kind of it's a no-brainer. To Keith, I guess not, but McCabe and Benoit were like their best pair for a while. I would sit Brody. I'm not saying for sure the playoffs, but now when you've still got time to figure it out and you see the way Brody's playing, I'd go Labushkin, Riley, McCabe, Benoit, Edmondson, Liljegren, Brody Giordano on the outside looking in right now and potentially to start your playoffs. Final thoughts to you on all that.
I totally agree with you. We'll see if it happens.
Sheldon has his boys, right? Like he's becoming. He's becoming more and more like Babcock. Like Benoit was awesome. What the fuck did Benoit do to be taken out of the lineup?
Well, I think they looked at it like Edmondson and Benoit were similar players. Only Edmondson is a way better Benoit.
Okay,
but the way you're looking at it is Benoit is playing better than Brody right now.
100%.
But Keith doesn't see it that way. He looks at Brody and he still sees Brody from 2020 and 2021.
They watch the tape. They comb through it way more than we do. And it's blatantly obvious to us. How can he, as an NHL head coach, not fucking see it?
I'm sure he sees it, but there's got to be something going on, like maybe his conversations with the player, anything behind the scenes where he believes he's going to snap out of it. Otherwise, there's no way he could just keep playing him as much as he does. Anyway, we will get into it on the next podcast. When are we going to do that? After the back-to-back?
Yeah, they got a back-to-back against Philly and Washington Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday night.
Sounds good. For the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on social media at the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, Tip In Podcast on TikTok, Tip In Bot on Twitter or X. Email us, tipinpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And we will.
Yeah, guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Please like this video and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It really helps us out. Go back and take a look at some of the other stuff you might have missed on the channel the last little while. A bunch of great content on the channel. Go check it out. But for sure, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Really helps us out. We really appreciate it. Go Leafs, go. Going into Philly, going into Washington for a back-to-back. And did you want to throw comments up or it's too late now? We'll just get out of here.
I can throw a couple up. It doesn't matter.
Well, okay, go ahead.
All right, we can throw one up.
we'll sign off.
We'll sign off in a sec. Spike says, Riley isn't a PPQB. He has no shot from the point, and that charade needs to end. We've been talking about that on the podcast.
And the Leafs management knows that. They've been trying to find a replacement for him for fucking several years now.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked out.
Do Good says, hey, Rod, the Bod's contract is up at the end of the year. Is Keith safe? Or could you imagine?
Yeah, I don't think he leaves Carolina, but I would welcome it with open arms. I'll tell you that much.
And one more before we sign off for real this time. But Edward Lee says, Keith worried about keeping three guys happy.
Well, can't do that if you want to win. You just can't.
No.
So.
But he's been doing it the whole time he's been here.
Anyway, all right, guys, thanks again. Hey, hopefully they go into Philly, they go into Washington, get things going, I just want to see them look a little better, like close out. I know they thumped Philly last week and then it looked like things were going good on Saturday and then it fell apart. So let's get things cooking again here, boys.
Yep.
Go Leafs, go, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Like Chad said, be safe out there for the remainder of this one and all that. And yeah, we'll catch you guys later.
Catch you later.